Most Americans find nothing funny in English comedy shows, since English humor is word-oriented, while American humor is more action-oriented. The same control that is found in English pubs and humor is also found in the English pace of living. Where else does one stand in line quietly for the bus or the taxi? Tea drinking is another expression of the English spirit of control and patience. Only barbarians drink tea by placing a tea bag in a cup of hot water, say they in their prudishness. There is a whole ritual to tea drinking in England. The water must be boiled rapidly, the teapot warm, the tea loose, then steeped at least 5 minutes in a teapot covered by tea cozy. Then and only then does one pour the tea into a cup and drink it. Not only old ladies in lace with Pekingese dogs on their laps drink tea, but a whole nation of workers, entrepreneurs, aristocrats have tea for breakfast, lunch, and of course, all activity stops in the afternoon for the customary tea break. People are so ritualized, they're just like animals. They follow whatever the pace is. However, there is another side to the English character, the bizarre, the audacious, and the innovative. It was not the USA, but conservative England that produced the Beatles, and this new scum now that I can't think of that spit on people and tell them that they hate them, with their long hair and sounds that have influenced a decade, better now, of rock musicians and adolescents. Out of a very straight middle-class family comes the androgynous Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, whose very existence violates the rigid sexual stereotypes of U.S. Western culture and British culture. The English are innovators and experimenters in many areas. A.S. Neill's Summerhill has become the model for progressive education in liberal capitalism. R.D. Lang's psychiatry's anti-psychiatrist claims that it is not the individual who is insane, but the society. And that is certainly true in capitalism. A person that really was normal would have to be called insane and denigrated and lied upon by the society. We do agree with psychiatrist R.D. Lang, L-A-I-N-G, on that. Psychiatrist, anti-psychiatric, claims that it is not the individual who is insane, but his society, which constantly categorizes him and forces him to fit into abstract norms. It was in England that Karl Marx wrote Das Kapital, the Communist Manifesto, which so traumatized Western capitalist civilization and radicalized Eastern ones. Perhaps because of Karl Marx's ever-present presence, he is buried in Highgate Cemetery in London. England was one of the first countries to have socialized medicine and socialized benefits for all. Though now, with the conservative uptrend, these are being reversed. The final reflection of this dualism was the British Empire. These well-controlled, patient, slow-moving people conquered and ruled three-fourths of the world. It was often said, the sun never sets on the British Empire. They owned that much territory around the world. But like Rome, like USA, now tottering, all systems do collapse that are not based on socialism. The English policemen are bobbies, as they have also been called, are almost never armed until this year, when USA and a special fund increased their wages and equipped them with all of the hideous means of brutalizing the public. Even during large demonstrations, they were expected in the past to use their minds, not lethal weapons, to keep order. But USA has had its criminal fascist influence. England's greatest export for the past 400 years has been its culture. The first disseminators of English culture were the explorers and settlers to the New World. Later, the colonizers and rulers of the empire. Today, the English language is spoken throughout the world, in Europe, in the Americas, in Africa, and in Asia. Of course, it was England that colonized so beastly Guyana, along with U.S. imperialist interest later on. Besides its language, England has exported its religion, its morality, and its government and laws. The USA is basically a white, Anglo-Protestant nation in its attitude, no matter what other races, nationalities, and religions exist there. Every nationality and race that has come to America ultimately uses English as its main language. Even the Indians have been forced to adopt English as their first language. American education today still reflects the cultural bias of English. Although in the last 15 years, some inroads have been made by other racial and national groups, especially those in urban areas, too much of American education still emphasizes white Anglo-English history, literature, culture, and religion. All American presidents, with the exception of Kennedy, who was a Catholic, have been male, white, and Protestant. The English Puritans are called the Founding Fathers, bigots who killed people who disagreed with them. Although the Spanish, the French, and certainly the Indians were in the USA ahead of them. The Puritan ethic of hard work and restricted pleasure is still strong, especially in Middle America. The government and laws of the USA are basically modeled after those of England. Perhaps that is why the 13 colonies broke away from England. No one was going to deny an Englishman his independence, not even another Englishman. In other English colonies, which later formed the empire, the English took up the white man's burden, as they called it, with their prejudice, the white man's burden of superimposing their morality, their morally superior culture and religion upon the natives of such places as Africa and Asia. This often resulted in the natives, those who wanted to get ahead, becoming more English than the English themselves. Today in countries like Kenya, we even note some in Guyana, and Jamaica, even India, one can see the effects of English rule. The ruling class and the middle class still copy the English in dress, in forms of education, in law, government, and the cultural practices, and the military and police forces. We've noted that particularly amongst the commissioner of police, all of the pictures of the white English faces. The empire is now dead. The British Empire is now dead. The Commonwealth members are quite independent, but the cultural effects of English rule will be felt for a long time. Let's hope its new emerging fascist racism will not equally be copied. Wales is poorer and more agriculture than England, and because the Welsh have their own language, they do not feel themselves nationally or culturally to be a part of the English people. People are slow to assimilate. Here, Great Britain has been together for nearly 2,000 years, and yet you have these sharp differences between the Welsh, the Irish, Scot, so forth and so on. They do not feel themselves, the Welsh that is, nationally or culturally to be a part of the English people. Although they have the same legal rights as the Englishmen, they are struggling to maintain their national identity by practicing Welsh customs, by speaking Welsh, and by securing more power in Parliament. The Scots, too, Scotland, part of Great Britain, seem to have received the bad part of the bargain when they dissolved their Parliament and joined England. In the late 1960s and early 1970s, a deteriorating economic situation has led large numbers of young Scotsmen to join the army in order to make a living, only to find themselves shipped across the North Channel to fight the Irish on behalf of the English. One group of people has generally been excluded from mainstream British society. That is the 2.5 million dark-skinned immigrants who have entered the country in past decades and recent years. The West Indians, the blacks, the Pakistanis, the Asians, and others who drive buses, sweep the floors, and work in the menial jobs in the factories. The English, especially the working class and the lower middle class, see the immigrants as a threat to their jobs. The colonial attitude of white supremacy is still now flourishing in the working class. Third world people are known as WOGS, W-O-G-S, equivalent to the use of gooks or niggers in the USA. In comparison to her American sisters, the English woman, in general, is not so well educated or so well off socially or economically. Most English girls do not go on to university or even to a two-year polytechnical school. They get married and are working shops, offices, factories, or at crafts for low wages. The true symbol for English womanhood is the Queen. Queen Elizabeth II has all the social prestige, but no political or economic power. Above all, she accepts her role as natural. Strange schizophrenia. In a nation where the working class is socialistic, they still are held up with worship of the Queen and the royal state or the monarchy. Thus ends the comment on England. where racism is being fostered to a degree that there's real and genuine danger of genocide of all people of color. Thank you. Much love. Be prepared for our guests. Everyone, they're coming soon.